Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again today. Hope all of you had a better week maybe than you did last week. It seems like the rain not going to let up for a while, but I was hoping it would clear on out. I know this is Labor Day weekend. I'm sure a lot of people's had a weekend planned and tomorrow planned. I was even wanting to try to go fishing myself tomorrow, but it looks like it's going to be raining. But it's so good to be able to come and share the Word of God with you again today. And like I said last Sunday, I know the message was a little strange because we talked about Brother Ed, and he's now retired from us. So we're looking for that minister of music. So if anybody knows one, be sure and contact our church. Let us know. I know that's going to be hard to find someone to replace Brother Ed. So this morning, we want to think about guess who's coming to supper. Guess who's coming to supper. We're going to read from Revelation chapter 3. Verses 19 through 22. This morning we'll be having baptismal service at our church, and we always like to kind of talk something about salvation and about baptism and things. But this morning we're going to look at this story just a little different. I know we've preached on these verses several times, and I'm sure you've heard messages on them several times. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for opportunity to come and, Lord, to share your word on this radio station once again. Lord, we thank you that we can offer this to those that may be shut in, Lord, and just not physically able to make it to church. We pray for them. We pray for their restored health. We pray for those that may be sick just today, Lord, and maybe they had to miss church. We ask you, Lord, to restore them. We know the coronavirus is still plaguing us, so Lord, we ask you once again to remove this pandemic from upon us, Lord, and our churches can get back to full force. Lord, we pray for those that may be traveling today, may be in their car, may be somewhere else on vacation, but Lord, we just pray for them as they travel that you give them safe journey to and from. But Lord, we know that who you want to hear this word is listening today. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you'll speak to our hearts, speak through me, cleanse me of my sin and my unrighteousness. Lord, I know I disappoint you so many times, but Lord, just make me worthy to be used by you today, because Lord, it's not my worthiness, but it's yours. It's not my word, but it's yours today. So we pray that Jesus will be uplifted, that he can draw all people unto him, that Satan will be bound and not able to distract us this morning. But we're going to give you the honor and the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. All right, this morning, as I said, we're thinking about guess who's coming to supper. You remember that was a kind of a movie, something kind of like that not long ago, back in the early 70s, I guess it was. But we want to look at this morning in Revelation chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, a very popular verse. It says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, we know this is coming upon the end, upon the heels of the Spirit speaking to the seven churches. We've just got through studying this in our discipleship training class and going over this in a great way. It was a great study. We enjoyed it very much. But when we get to this end, we know we've just been talking to the church at Laodicea. That church, that probably you've heard a lot of sermons about, that lukewarm church where God said what? "You're lukewarm. I could spew you out of my mouth." He said, "I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I could just spew you out of my mouth." And so when he gets down to the end of this, he's been talking to these seven churches. We see that most of them had major problems, did they not? We know the church at Philadelphia is the one that seems to be doing the best, and how that God puts before them an open door that no man can close. And we see that he has something good to say to all of them, and he points out what's bad and what's wrong that's going on with them. But this church at Laodicea, like I said, was that lukewarm that he said, "I wish you were hot or cold." And then we come down to this verse 19 that he said, "You know, every who I love, I'm going to chasten. I'm going to chasten those. I'm going to rebuke those who are doing wrong that I love, those that are my churches, those that are my people. I'm going to correct them." That's what he does. And then he gives out this great invitation. You know, Jesus was a man of great invitations, was he not? He was a man of great invitations. He began with his invitation to his disciples as he walked by that Sea of Galilee. and said unto to Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, what did he say? Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. As he walked by Matthew's tax table, and what did he say to him? Come and follow me. And time again, we see Jesus making that plea for people to come and follow him. He gave that great invitation. He said, those that are weak and heavy laden, he says, what? Come and take upon me my yoke. Come and follow me. And time again, we see Jesus giving these great invitations for people to come and to follow him, and people to come and to be one of his people. Well, we see he ends up, as we get down to this last part of chapter 3 of Revelation, we see he ends up these sermons or these letters that he writes to these seven churches, and he gets to the end, and once again, he gives a great invitation. Look what he says. Behold, I stand at the door, and what do? I knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me. You know, that's a wonderful thing to think about, that Jesus said he will come in and sup with you and you with him. Now, what does that mean? You know, I entitled this, Guess Who's Coming to Supper? Listen, if we'll open that door, Jesus wants to come and abide and abode with you. He talks about it in John 14:23 and John 15:10. He talks about that if we would keep his commandments, we would love him. If we would keep his word, that if you're part of that vine, what happens? Then he says, then I will come and abide with you. I will make my abode with you. I will come in and sup with you. Now, I know that people don't do this as much as they used to, but I know that used to, you know, people enjoy it, having people in their homes. I can remember back in my ministry, you know, people invite the preacher, come eat with them, you know, but this is almost a thing of the past now, isn't it? It's very few homes that you get invited to, even as the preacher, to come and take a meal with somebody. Every now and then you do, but it's not too often. I can remember when I first came to West Macomb Baptist Church, I can remember the people who first invited me to come to their homes, to get to know us and to be there. But you know, over 18 and a half years, and I'm not complaining now, don't get me wrong, they've been great to me, but you know, it hadn't been a handful of people that we've actually ate in their homes. But think about that just a minute. Those that are friends, those that are our loved ones, we want to come and sup with them. It's just something about coming and sitting down and having a meal and having that relationship with that person in your home and to have them there in your home. And so Jesus says, look, I'm giving you an invitation. When I come and knock on your door, if you'll open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. In other words, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know you personally. I want to know you intimately. I want to get to know you as my best friend. You know, we talk about our BFF, our best friend forever. Jesus wants to be your best friend forever. This morning, as I said, we'll be having our baptismal service, and we'll be baptizing a dear, sweet young girl, and you know, to hear her talk about how that she asked Jesus into her heart. You know, we use that phrase. We ask Jesus into our heart. Now, where is that at in the Bible where we ask Jesus? You know, somebody asked me one time where the sinner's prayer was in the Bible, and I said, well, it's not a just written out sinner's prayer. It's accumulation of a lot of scripture and a lot of things where he tells us what? To confess our sins, to repent of our sins, to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. And you know, but where we see Jesus saying, I want to come in and sup with you. I want to come into your heart. I want to be a part of your life. I want to come and abide within you. The Bible tells us that our body is the temple of the Lord, that we are not our own. We are bought with a price, that Jesus comes and dwells in us. That we know that Paul says, I have been crucified with him, and yet I live. But I don't live, but what? Jesus lives in me. And this is what Jesus is saying. I want to come in and sup with you. I want to come in and live with you. I want to come in and be a part of your family. You know, Denise and I, over the 18 years that we've been here, we've had about four different people that have lived with us at different times. We've had college students, a couple of college students have lived with us. We had a couple of adults that had to live with us for a while, and things that had gone on, just some of the things in their lives that they, until they could find a place to live. And, you know, over that time, you know, it feels good to invite somebody to come into your home. You have to kind of change some things, don't you? You have to kind of make sure you don't run around, you know, in your drawers every day because you got other people in your house. So you got to make sure, you know, you always dress or something like that. But, you know, we enjoyed those times. At times that we could get to know those people and we could get to know them in a greater way. And, you know, that's what Jesus said. It's something for somebody just to come and eat one meal with you. But when they come in and sup with you, when they come in and dwell with you and abide with you, and this is what Jesus says he wants to do. He wants to come in and abide with you. He wants to come in and make his abode with you. He wants to move in with you. And when we ask him into our hearts, as this young lady, little Aaronelle, that we'll be baptizing here in a few minutes, this is exactly what he does. He comes in and he sets up his home within you. And he abides in us and he lives within us day in and day out. But it all begins with us being willing to open that door, to ask him, if you will, into our hearts. It's all about opening that door. So this morning, I want us to think about that this morning. I want us to think about how we open that door, what it takes to open that door. First thing that we're going to see is that he says that what? Not only hear me not, but hear my voice. We have to hear him at the door. Number two is we have to trust him. If we're going to allow him in and we're going to open the door, there's got to be trust. Number three, we've got to be willing to surrender everything unto him. And then the last thing, number four, we open that door because why? We love him. If we love him, we will open that door. So let's go back and think about those four things this morning. As Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you hear my voice," saying, "Van, open the door." Are we willing to open that door? He says, "If you open it, I will come in and sup with you." So let's look at the first thing that I said, is that we must hear his voice. Now, you know, we think about Jesus standing there at that door, and I know I've got pictures of Jesus. I got a little plaque of Jesus standing at the door knocking, and the artist, when they drew that, we knew that some people told him, said, "Hey, you made a mistake. You didn't put a handle on the outside door." And he said, "That's exactly true. There's no handle on the outside of the door. Jesus isn't going to pick the lock. Jesus isn't going to bust the door down. There's no way for him to get in. The handle's on the inside. You have to be willing to open that door." So when we hear him knock, but I love what he says here, that what? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice." So let's think about that just a minute. You know, we preach this a lot of times, that he's standing there knocking. But he's not just knocking. What's he doing? He's calling your name. He's saying, Van, it's me, Jesus. I'm knocking on your heart's door. I'm knocking, I want in." You know, that a lot of people may come and knock on your door, and a lot of times you may say, "What? Well, who is it?" You know? "You know, who is it?" And you, if you don't know who they are, or if they don't answer, you're not so quick just to open the door, do you? You won't know who it is that's actually coming. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door, and if you hear my voice." Now listen to me. Every one of us are going to get that opportunity sometimes in our lives. Every one of us are going to have Jesus knocking on our heart's door. Every one of us, he's going to call out your name. Now if we're going to hear it, if we're going to open the door, it's up to us. He says, "Behold, I give you the invitation. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and if you open that door." Now I've had people try to hear for the voice of Jesus for other people. You know, I've heard horror stories of children telling me stories like when they got grown and they said, "Look," said, "Preacher, I wasn't saved when I was a kid." He said, "My mom and daddy told me, 'Hey, you already 12 years old, it's time for you to go down that aisle and get saved.'" Now listen, if Jesus hadn't called out your name, if he has not knocked on your heart's door, nobody else can tell you when the time is. Nobody else can tell you. I know I have sat in homes and shared Jesus with several children. And as I did that, You know, one would accept Jesus and one would look at me and say, no, I'm not ready. I've been there in the homes before and shared Jesus and be going over the plan of salvation with a child, and I've had a daddy get saved sitting at the same table. You know, I'd think the daddy was saved and he'd get saved at the same table, hearing the same word. See, we don't ever know when Jesus is going to call somebody's name, when he's going to knock on that heart's door. But we got to be willing to hear that voice. And everybody has to hear it for their own. I wish I could tell you when to get saved. I wish I could make you get saved. I mean, it would make my job a whole lot easier and make me a whole lot happier if it really worked, but it doesn't work like that. I mean, I can't call out your name. I can't point my finger at you. I might love to sometimes. I've known some preachers that have done things like that, just come out and call people's name out, you know, in the service. I'm not going to do that. Because, listen, it's not my voice you got to hear. It's not me knocking. It's not my invitation that I give to you. It's got to be God's invitation. It's got to be the voice of Jesus. You've got to hear his voice, and you've got to understand that it's him who is calling you. And he calls people in different places, at different times, at different ages. You know, we can't set an age on that, on when everybody needs to be saved. Some people are saved young, like this one today. Some are saved when they get older. But brothers and sisters, Jesus is going to knock on your heart's door at one day or another. He's going to call out your name. Are you going to hear it? You know, Matthew in 13 chapter verse 15, he says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed." Think about that just a minute. Have our hearts grossed cold? You know, why are our baptisms down in our churches across our nation? Why are people not responding to the gospel? Have our ears become dull? Are we not hearing the word of God? You know, we're hearing everybody else. Everybody else wants your attention, don't they? Everybody else, the world's screaming at you right now. It's screaming at you on your internet. It's screaming at you on your Wi-Fi. It's screaming at you on your phone, on your TV. It's screaming at you from the street corner, from the advertisement boards, everywhere you look. The world's screaming at you. Are you going to hear Jesus when he calls you? Are you going to hear his voice when he calls? Have our ears gotten dull and our eyes gotten blind? It reminds me of those three little monkeys. You remember that? I can remember as a boy, my daddy had one on his desk when he worked. And it showed those three little monkeys sitting there. What? Hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil. You remember that? Preached a message on that one time. Can you think about that? We don't hear no evil. That little monkey sitting there with his hands over his ear. We don't see no evil. We keep our hands over our eyes. And we don't speak any evil. We keep our mouth shut. Listen to me. The church has been sitting there like a monkey long enough. We've been sitting there with our hands over our ears, over our eyes, and over our mouth long enough. It's time we hear the word of God. It's time we hear his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They come when I call them." Listen to me. Have you heard Jesus' voice calling your name? Have you heard that knock on your heart's door? It all begins first with you being willing to hear. Well, let's look at the second thing. The second thing is that we got to trust. For you to open that door, you've got to trust. When you hear somebody knock at your door or ring your doorbell, and then you go to that door and you ask, say, "Well, who is it?" And if they tell you who they are, if you know that person, if you trust that person, then what? You'll open that door. Now, if you don't trust that person, you don't open that door. You know, at our church office, you know, times have gotten so bad that, you know, we have to keep our doors locked at our church office, and we have a camera on the door, and our secretary, she has a buzzer that you got to mash the button and she'll open the door or not open the door. And you know, we've told her a lot of times, you know, if I'm not here or some other person is not here at the church with her, and if somebody comes to that door that you don't know or that looks suspicious, don't open the door. You don't have to open that door. We tell her, just because you're here, you don't have to open that door. If you don't feel comfortable, open that door, don't open that door. But if it's somebody you can trust, if it's somebody you know, open the door. But don't open it if it's not somebody you trust. Think about that just a minute. You know, the Lord gave me a message some years ago about this, and I talked about this door, and I talked about that trust. And you may remember, let me just share it with you real quick. I know our time going out. But I said, you know, a lot of people won't open the door. What will they do? They'll try to talk to you through the door, right? They're scared. They don't want to open the door. They say, "Who is it?" You tell them who you are, and they say, "Well, what do you want?" "Well, that's Brother Van. I'm from the church, you know. Come to visit with you." And, you know, and they say, "Oh, we're not home. Come back later." You know, a lot of times that. They just won't talk to you through the door. And then there's some people who don't maybe not know you, and they'll open the door, but they'll reach up there and they'll lock the storm door. Think about that just a minute. Or the screen door. Not many people have just a screen door anymore. Most of us have storm doors, don't we? But what they'll do is they'll open that wooden door so they can see you. And then when they see you, you know, they keep that storm door locked. In other words, what? They just not quite trusting enough to let you in. They just speak to you through that door, or either they lock that screen door or that storm door. Well, then there are others who do what? When you tell them who they are, they say, oh, yeah, preacher, I know. And they'll open the door and they welcome you in and invite you to come in and sup with them, you know, and invite you to come in and have a Coke and a piece of cake or whatever with them. You know, that's what you want, people who trust you. Well, how much do you trust Jesus? You know, there's a lot of people trying to talk to him through the door. That don't work. That's not a salvation experience. There's a lot of people who want to open the inside door but keep the other door locked. And they're not willing to let Jesus all the way in. That is not salvation. That's just false assurance. You say, well, I know Jesus. I seen Jesus. Jesus knocked on my heart's door. Well, you never let him in. You keep him at arm's length. That's not it. You got to trust him. You got to open those doors and let him in. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understandings. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord. Open that door. Open that door. Let him in. It all starts with that trust. Well, let's look at the second thing. I said it takes surrender. You have to be willing to surrender your heart unto him. You have to be willing to surrender everything. When you let somebody into your home and into your house, really you're surrendering all that you have, even unto them. In other words, you're not just giving it to them. I'm not saying that. But you're making it available. You know, the people that we've had who have lived in our homes over the last years and even before we came to West Macomb, you know, we would always tell them, look, anything you want, if it's in the cabinet, if it's in the refrigerator, if we don't want you to eat it, we'll put a note on it. Please don't eat this. It's for tomorrow or something. But anything you want, anything you see, you know, help yourself. Eat it. You know, if you need another blanket, it's right here in the closet. Need another pillow, get it. Make yourself at home. Isn't that what the words that we say? Make yourself at home. See, that's what supping is. See, when Jesus comes into our heart, we have to trust him, but then we got to be willing to do what? Surrender everything to him, saying, okay, my castle is your castle. Remember that old saying? My castle is your castle. You can come in. You can take control. You can use whatever you want. In Mark chapter 10, verses 21 and following, we know there's a story of a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus. We know Jesus, like I said, had given that invitation for people to come and follow him time and time again. This rich young ruler comes and says, look, I want to know, how can I have eternal life? How can I have that? And Jesus says, well, you got to keep the commandments. He said, well, which one are they? And Jesus told him, said, well, you remember the Ten, and he began to go over the Ten Commandments. And the rich young ruler, what did he say? Hey, I've done all that. And Jesus says, there's only one other thing you got to do. Go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And then that tragic verse, verse 22, what did it say? And the rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Think about that just a minute. He was not willing to surrender it all. Yes, he would say, oh man, I want to let Jesus into my heart. Oh yes, I want him to come and abide with me. But when he did, he put restrictions on Jesus, didn't he? He said, but don't touch this, don't touch that, and you can't eat this, you can't have that, don't go in this room. No, we have to totally surrender unto Jesus. Everything that we have, and he was not willing to surrender everything that he had unto Jesus. He was not willing to give it all up. He was not willing to say, I'll sell everything and follow you. See, brothers and sisters, if we expect Jesus to come in and sup with us, if we expect him to abide within us and to be the Lord of our lives like we say that he is when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, then, brothers and sisters, we got to be willing to surrender everything unto him. Kind of like in them hostage situations, you know, when those negotiators talk to those people who are holding those people hostage. You know, they finally have to surrender, don't they? They finally have to give up, and they finally have to let the police in. Listen, we have to surrender it all to Jesus. Paul said it like this to the church at Rome in Romans 12, verse 1. What did he say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable before Him. He says, because what? It's our only reasonable service. It's the only reasonable thing that we can do. Jesus gave His life for us. Jesus died on that cross for us. So the only reasonable thing that we can do in return is to what? Offer our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him. So it all begins from what? Hearing the voice of Jesus. Hearing that knock on that door. Being willing to trust Him enough to open that door completely. Take all the chains off of it. Open it up widely. Invite Him in. And when we do what? We surrender everything that we have, everything that we are. We surrender unto Jesus, making our bodies that living sacrifice, being willing to give up everything that we have so that it can be used by Jesus. Well, let's look at the last thing. The last thing that we see that we open the door, we see that it comes through hearing, through our trust, through our surrender, but through our love. Those that we love, we're willing to open the door for our loved ones, right? For those that we love. You know, during my time of surgeries and things that I've had, and when I had my knees done, and you know, I'd be sitting in my recliner and I'd go and I'd unlock the front door before I ever sit down. You know, I'd unlock the front door because I knew people would be coming by, and people brought us food, and my family was coming by to check on me, my sons and my daughters, and my granddaughters and grandsons, and so I would unlock that door, make sure that door was unlocked. And so when they would come, and they would knock on the door or ring the doorbell, and sometimes they wouldn't even knock or anything. They just walk right on in. Why do they do that? Why do they feel like they had it? I had the door unlocked. But the reason is because what? They loved me and they knew I loved them. And I didn't care. I wanted them to come in and out into me. I wanted them to be able to come in and out. I didn't want to have to get up when they got there. I wanted to be able to just say, come on in, you know, and they'd come on in. I know a lot of times, you know, I go to people's houses and I'll knock on the door and sometimes they're expecting me. And when they holler, come on in, I don't feel too bad. But a lot of times I'll just go unexpectedly and somebody will holler from inside the house, come on in, you know, and I'm kind of like, well, I don't know whether to go in or not. But, you know, those are people that we love and those people that love us. Then we know what we can trust them. We don't mind surrendering to them. You know, my grandchildren, they don't ask. They want a Coke. They go to the refrigerator and get them a soda pop out of it or get them some water. If they want a cookie out of the cabinet, they go get them a cookie. They don't have to come and ask every time. You know, sometimes they'll ask. I say, sure, get what you want. But they usually know they can do it. Why? Because they're people that we love. They're the ones that are our loved ones. Well, do we love Jesus? Do we love Jesus? You know, if we love Him, if He loves us, like He says He loved us and He proved it dying on that cross for our sins, to be raised on that third day, then we know that He's not going to harm us. We know because He loves us, He means us no harm. When He comes and knocks on that door, when He calls out our name, we can trust Him that He is there because He loves us. What did He say? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and attend. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open that door and I'll come in and I will what's up with him. You know, we like to spend time with those people that we love and those people that love us. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and I will come unto him and make our abode with him. Did you hear that? If any man would just keep my word, if he loves me, he's going to keep my word. If he loves me, he's going to do the things that I say. And he says, my Father's going to love him. And he says, if we love each other, then what's going to happen? He says, then we will come in and we will make our abode with him. In other words, there it is once again. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. There it is again, asking Jesus to come and abide in your life, to set up his abode with you. Ask Jesus to move in, to come and sup with you, not just to come eat one meal, but to come and to live in you. That yes, this morning we'll go through that baptism of Pueblo there now. And it will show how that what? How that Jesus abides in her. That she is bury that old person. She's a new person in Jesus. That Jesus lives within her life and lives within her now. And that now he abides in her. This morning, Jesus is giving that invitation to you. He's making that invitation to you. Just as he did all through his ministry of great invitations, he's making that invitation to you. Don't give him some pitiful excuses. You remember those pitiful excuses? One man said, I got married, I can't come right now. One guy said, I got to go bury my daddy. Another one said, I just bought some yoke of oxen, I got to see if they'll work. One said, I bought a piece of land, let me go look at it. These are all pitiful excuses. Don't make an excuse this morning. Hear his voice. Open that door as he knocks. Trust him, surrender unto him so that you can find out the love of God dwelling in you and abiding in you. He's knocking on your hearts today, maybe. Do you hear his voice? If you do, open that door. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively this morning. And Lord, I pray that if you're calling somebody's name out right now, I pray, Lord, they'll get up and open that door. That they'll completely trust you and surrender and love you. Lord, I can't hear for anybody else. I heard my name when I was that young boy, 9 years of age, and I opened that door. And Lord, it's been great ever since. You have supped with me ever since. You've abided with me ever since. Lord, help people that are lost to find that same assurance and that hope that only you can give them. Help them to answer that invitation today, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.